good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder to download the free Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. And then you can listen to all of the shows across all of the stations. And that also gives you the ability to call and text directly, which is kind of nice.
I love that feature.
Right? That's a pretty spiffy feature. And a reminder, too, if you go to civicmedia.us,
yes,
and you're interested in getting some merch.
Yes.
We have merch.
We have merch.
We have t-shirts. We have a pretty nice looking hat. I'm waiting for mine.
I'm getting the 540 WAUK t-shirt because it reminds me.
This one?
Mine is going to be red.
Oh.
I like it because it reminds me of like t-shirts from the Grand Ole Opry because I love the Grand Ole Opry.
All right.
But yeah.
Calvin, you're getting merch, aren't you? What did you choose? Was it a hat or a shirt?
I haven't made my decision yet. I'm probably going to go with a hat.
I think that's a wise choice.
I'm the only shirted guy here.
I have a shirt on right now.
I didn't get one of those cool shirts.
I think they're on the website.
Fair point.
Civicmedia.us. Click on the shop tab if you want to pick up some Civic Media merch. That would be great. All right. We are going to, I didn't want this to get missed because this seems somewhat important.
Yeah.
Washington Post, just a couple of days ago, headline reads, "What Trump Promised Oil CEOs as He Asked Them to Steer $1 Billion to His Campaign." This is from Josh Dossi and Maxine Joslow, again in the Washington Post. As Donald Trump sat with some of the country's top oil execs last month at Mar-a-Lago, one executive complained about how they have to deal with burdensome environmental regulations despite they spent $400 million to lobby the Biden administration in the last year. Trump's response stunned several of the executives in the room, saying, "You are all wealthy enough. You should raise $1 billion to make sure I get back to the White House. And if you do that, I will immediately reverse dozens of the Biden administration's environmental rules and policies and stop new ones from being enacted." Trump said giving $1 billion is a deal because of all the taxes and regulation they wouldn't have to deal with, all thanks to him. Well, it's right. I mean, he finally just said it right out there.
He says it right out there all the time.
Well, that's true. But I do think this is worth looking at and making sure people are aware of this.
Tell me, Jane, I just have a simple question. I'm a simple man from a simple place. Have the oil and big like energy industries, have they been suffering a lot? Have they had to like cut back on the extra cheese orders on their Whoppers? Have they had to take the bus to work?
It's been a struggle, Greg.
It has been a struggle for the big oil people, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
My gosh.
The profits are up. But it's bothersome, Greg.
I wanted to buy my fifth yacht, but I can't.
No, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
Oil and gas companies are doing just fine.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we are now producing more energy than ever before.
Which means they make what? That's right. Money.
Profits.
Profits. That's right. Profits.
And then I found this interesting article in The Lever. Since 2021, economists and pundits try to blame inflation on workers and rising wages. But there's a new report that looks at a different cause. Oil companies engaging in alleged price fixing with Saudi Arabia and other countries, which may have fueled 1/3 of all U.S. inflation in 2021.
We were talking about this yesterday.
We were.
Inflation is mostly price gouging from private businesses.
Yes.
But we say inflation, so therefore people turn their heads to Washington and blame the government.
And say fix it.
Yeah.
Charles from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning and happy Mother's Day weekend to all the mothers out there. Not you, Greg. Anyways.
Ouch.
I heard an advertisement by Humvee, you know, blasting Tammy Baldwin for voting 90% of the time with Joe Biden. Let's turn that around. Let's see what the Republicans did when President Trump was there for the Republican Party. Also, the fact of the matter is a couple other things, is Humvee's bank under investigation by the federal, you know, by feds? Because there's some action, I've heard this somewhere. And the third thing is why is this man asking for billions of dollars from them? Because he's a billionaire. And the fact is, the oil companies made 80-some billion dollars in the last quarter. What's going on here?
Well, there
something's not right in Denmark.
I hear you, Charles. There's those CEO, the oil company CEOs are struggling, Charles.
Yeah,
they're struggling.
I'd like to answer question two.
I can't take the suffering anymore.
Jane, it's okay. Jane's feeling it right now, folks. If you're not, Jane is experiencing empathy with these big oil barons who really have had a tough few decades with just
awful
record-shattering prices, record-shattering profits, raising those prices to make sure that you and I can pay for their 16th yacht. Because everyone knows you haven't made it until you've had a 16th yacht.
Well, the other guy has 17.
We'll get there,
you
Jane.
Know, I have to keep up. As far as what Charles was referring to with Eric Hovde's bank, it is my understanding that there was a death at a nursing home that the bank is involved with in some way.
I believe it's an investment in the
home. An investment in that home. So I'm not quite sure where the status of that is, but...
Hey, when the government's investigating any banks, I'm happy, because that doesn't happen often.
Well, the Federal Trade Commission, again, according to this article in The Lever, uncovered text messages and documents suggesting the founder of a big oil company colluded with the Saudis and other oil-producing nations in order to keep energy prices high. Another lawsuit alleging multiple American oil companies engaged in a price-fixing scheme.
We got him, folks. That's it. That's the end of oil.
Naughty, naughty.
It's the end of oil. We did it. We beat him. Did it. They'll never recover from this.
Carmela, texting in from Milwaukee. Jane and Greg, the real question is, have there been any takers of Trump's proposal to oil and gas companies? What's scary is we may not find out about a deal if one of them take Trump up on it until it's too late. Carmela, I think we can pretty much assume that they're starting to give him money now.
Oh, yeah. They're going to
They're
going to support him. But I said this, I think I said it on Pat's show this morning on Up North Radio, is like, he can say all the things like, I'll make sure these things don't get done and I'll reverse these things. And I'm sure they're looking at him going, we don't really care. You're an idiot. You'll do whatever you want. We'll give you money anyways and we'll still win. We'll still be rich at the end of the day. Because I don't know if they know this, Jane. This is just simple math. Whether they make $2 billion or $1 billion, they still made $1 billion. And that's a lot of money. So,
Washington Post reporting Donald Trump told oil company executives, you are all wealthy enough that you should raise $1 billion to return me to the White House. He vowed to immediately reverse dozens of President Biden's environmental rules and stop any new ones from being enacted. Giving $1 billion to Trump would be a deal, he says, because of all the taxes and the regulations they won't have to deal with anymore. So, I guess they can make an investment in Trump.
This was how The Art of the Deal was made, that book. Like, he makes these deals. He makes good deals. This was beautiful. Just, you know, hey, give me money. I'll make it work for you. The book could have been a pamphlet.
But I can see some supporters saying, yeah, he said it out loud. So what? They all do this. And certainly every politician is taking donations. That's true.
Yes.
I just don't know that it's ever quite so laid out in such a clear quid pro quo kind of way.
Hey, he's a quid kind of guy. You know, whether it's oil people or, you know, Russian presidents or not Ukrainian presidents. I mean, that's the thing is, I am not shocked and I can't be shocked anymore by the things he says in public, because he says whatever he wants. He says it with impunity. There are no consequences. And as much as I want him to go to prison for the rest of his life, He's not going to, probably. He's going to get a huge fine. He'll have to pay it, and whatever. But this guy gets to walk between the raindrops. And but on the other side of that terrible coin is us having to pick up the slack, regular people. And some of those regular people support him for some reason. This amoral human being.
Yeah. And an important reminder to the Ute.
You just say Ute.
To all the Utes out there. Do not expect a second Trump administration to do anything about the environment.
No.
This should be pretty clear right now.
Or care about your student loan. Or care about access to purchasing a home.
Or lowering the price of insulin or prescription medications.
Or making it easier to, like, maybe get tax credits for EVs, cars. Like, you know, environmentalism, you're done. You're done.
Completely.
Get ready to put a for sale sign in the national parks, because I guarantee you we will lose at least one national park in another Trump presidency.
So they can start drilling.
Yes. He will sell it off, privatize it, and say, look what I did. I made a deal. I made America money.
Matthew Davis, VP of Federal Policy at the League of Conservation Voters and a former scientist with the EPA, says it's fairly norm for outside groups to write policy proposals to inform an incoming administration's policies. But an industry writing exact language for an incoming president to sign is, quote, beyond the pale.
What? That's what Alec does. Alec does it all the time. And most of these guys in Washington, and I'm sure... they don't read them either. They're just like, this is what I came up with.
This is what they want me to sign. I'm going to sign.
Once again, nothing about this is new, but it's still infuriating on the whole, because you and me, and Calvin, and the people listening right now, we're the ones stuck with the bill.
We're the one
who always gets screwed.
Got to go vote.
And how do they do that?
Get involved. Got to go vote. MyVote.wi.gov. It's a very, very useful website. Stay with us. Call or text if you want to join the conversation. 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. 855-752-4842 if you want to call or text. 855-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were just talking about Donald Trump speaking to a number of oil company executives at Mar-a-Lago and essentially telling them, donate $1 billion to me and I'm going to gut all the EPA regulations and you get everything that you want. Terry from Cross Plains listening in Madison. Thank you, Terry. The question is, if only one of these companies donates the billions, they all benefit. If Trump does away with the EPA rules, why do they all have to do it? That's a very valid question, Terry. I would imagine for these guys, that's $1 billion is kind of pocket change, isn't it?
I mean, it's enough for what, maybe the 13th or 14th yacht, but you know,
they could probably swing that, though.
Yeah, you know.
You know, give them $5, $6 billion. Even though, as our caller pointed out before, Charles from Green Bay, Donald Trump, he keeps talking about how much money he has. That's why he ran. He said originally he was going to run, and he didn't have to be beholden to anyone because he was so rich.
He's very rich, Jane. He's very rich.
But send him a donation now because he needs your help to defend himself in all these legal cases, just as a side note.
Meanwhile, as another side note, Eric Hovde is like, I raised $9 million. He donated $8 million himself.
Ooh. Tom from L.A. is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg.
Hello.
Hey, I think this is a really important issue that everyone needs to understand. I know I didn't understand it until I started listening to talk radio. I got a little bit older. But people have got to understand the difference between public and private, because the Republicans' whole you know, their whole mantra is to privatize everything.
Yep.
And privatize means profitize. Privatize means it's owned by a private owner. Public means that it's for not profit. It means we, the people, ultimately all our taxes actually pay for whatever it is, and we're not there to make a profit. We're there to do it in the public good. I don't know if you guys can say it better than what I'm saying it, but I really think that people do not understand the concept between government and public versus the private owner and private. Because when you have a private owner, there is no recourse. They can do whatever they want. But if it's public, we have say in that. We can vote the people out. We can vote for a new person to come in. But in privatized stuff, we do not. So when we have privatized education, you know, versus the charter schools and the private religious schools versus the public schools. Public schools are there for everyone. It is there through our tax dollars. A private school should not be used by tax dollars, even though it has been.
Yep.
But you have to understand the difference between public and private.
Thank you, Tom. Really appreciate it. Always appreciate you checking in and for listening.
Yeah, I can actually, I will provide a cool example. It's from experience, but also just as, you know, to take it further. Yeah, the privatizing, once a service is privatized, it no longer matters the quality of that service. The bottom line is the only thing that matters. It only matters how much money that company,
yes,
and really the people up top who run it make. That's what they care about. So quality of service can wane as long as they're making money. They don't have to care. In Racine, when I worked there, they did a study about privatizing the trash pickup. If I'm not mistaken, trash pickup in Racine is still public. It's still public employees. They are unionized, all done through the city of Racine's DPW. They did a study on privatizing it, and they found that even though they would save money on trucks, repairs, employees, all of those things,
yeah,
they would still end up spending more money on the privatization of the garbage pickup with, and wait for it, no guarantee to the quality of the work being done by the group. So when people talk about privatization, I'm not saying every situation is the same, but in this situation, we found out that we were going to lose money in the long run and we weren't going to be guaranteed quality of service. So therefore, privatization is not the 1-2 punch to all the problems of government. In fact, it's usually people screaming it with someone behind them saying, tell them to privatize the thing because we can do it and we'll make more money. Privatizing the prison,
yes,
system.
Yes.
There's another example.
Yes. All right. We are going to move along. Take a breath. Yeah, we've had a couple of those moments today. You and me both. I know.
Yeah.
This will bring your temperature down a little bit,
I think.
This came up yesterday because we were talking about going for a walk in downtown Waukesha along the river. And then we were talking about all the ducks and the geese that that hang out there. And I talked about my fear of geese, and we talked about how territorial geese can be and things like that. And one of our folks on the live stream, I think it was Brendan.
It was Brendan.
Mentioned that there is a prison in Brazil that uses geese. And so I had to look it up. And he's absolutely right. According to the Animal Reader, Brazil prison uses geese to guard prisoners. They're called geese agents. They don't have little badges or anything. A little hat would be kind of cute. They actually patrol a green space between the prison's inside fence and the main outer wall. Staff say the alertness of the geese makes them excellent guard animals, even better than dogs. So it's not necessarily that they are attacking prisoners who are trying to get out. It's just they make a lot of noise when someone's there.
See, I just have one complaint to lodge.
Okay.
I feel like this whole story started with geese guard prisons. So now I have this picture in my head of geese running around the prison system with little uniforms, with little billy clubs, or if they're fancy, they're called William clubs.
Nice.
But they're policing and guarding. And then it turns, not only is it not like everywhere or a lot of places, it's just in Brazil. Then it's one prison. Now it's a tiny space because they are scary and they make noise. I could take a goose.
We'll take you down to the river after the show.
I will show those geese what's up.
And we'll put you head to head with one of those big geese down there. I think you would change your mind. It is, by the way, a really beautiful day to get out and go for a walk.
Oh my gosh, yeah. What is the
And go for a walk along the river. Just wherever you are.
Yeah.
News is on the way. Also an entertainment minute. Pete Schwab is so wonderful.
Yes,
He's just great. That's coming up too. And then when we return, Mother's Day is on Sunday. So we would really love to know your favorite mom memories. It can be sad, it can be sweet, it can be funny. Whatever you would like to share with us to honor your mom, please have that ready to go. Think about it now, and we'll be back very shortly. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just let me live my life and live it well. I wanna honk my beak and ring this bell so the children of tomorrow always know it has been lost by the people of this village. They can see the price it costs. They'll see their destiny is something they can choose, and they have learned this lesson from a goose. So let them live. Tomorrow, and they know it has been lost by you people of this village. They can see the price it costs. Don't try it, stop it. You'll be wasted.
Hey, now I want to scream so loud for you, cause I'm so proud of you. And let me tell you what I'm about to do.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, RYPC on the board, coming to you from our studio, resident young person, Kel. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Mother's Day is Sunday, at least here in southeastern Wisconsin. It is going to be a beautiful day.
It is going to be a beautiful day. Do you do anything to celebrate?
Unfortunately, since I am not a mom,
yeah.
I have a couple of sisters who are moms,
yeah.
And my niece is a mom. Mm-hmm. I have several nieces now who are moms, but since we lost my mom, which is almost 17 years ago,
okay.
we don't. And my mother-in-law, unfortunately, my mother and my mother-in-law died within months of each other.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It was a rough stretch.
Well, then we celebrate them in our hearts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. We would love to hear your favorite mom memories.
Yeah.
So we can honor our moms, whether they're with us or no longer with us. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Can be sweet. Can be sad. Can be funny.
It can be about your grandma.
Absolutely.
It can be about anyone.
Stepmother.
You know, stepmom, an aunt who maybe you were very close with. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I'm lucky. I had a great aunt who was like a grandma to me. Her name was Adeline, and she was the queen lion, the lioness of the family, where every year my family has been having family reunions here in Waukesha. I want to say for going on 80 years now.
Wow.
Third Sunday of August every year, we're usually at Horb Park here in Waukesha, and we gather, and my family is gigantic.
Oh, it is?
It's huge. Like, it's, yes. And for the longest time, and it's still kind of that way, but like when I remember growing up, you know, the men would sit down on the chairs, and you would kind of kiss the ring. My grandpa, mm-hmm. Buck, and his brother, and they would sit there and they would talk and hold court. But as time went by and they passed away, my Aunt Adeline and her sister Rosie, my Aunt Rosie, they both became the ladies in the chairs. And
interesting.
And at one point it was sort of like, they don't come to you. You go to
them. You go to them.
And don't upset them. Because they, and not in like a mean way, but they were just like, they didn't hold back and they were honest with all their opinions. And it's wonderful. My Aunt Rosie is almost 100 and Adeline's no longer with us. But feel very lucky to have those strong female figures in my life who are like, you know, aunts and moms and things like that. My mom herself is just, you know, I've been struggling.
For a favorite mom story?
For a favorite mom story. And for me, it's just, I'm just lucky to have the mom I have because her support, you know, she didn't, you know, I got married later, quote unquote, later in life mm-hmm. in Wisconsin terms. Mm-hmm. I've never had children. I don't plan on having children. I've changed careers. I've changed paths. And while my mom is always worried about me and she'll always say, I can always worry about you. I'm your mother.
Sure.
She's never said, don't do that. She's never said, you can't do that. She's never said, why are you doing that in a way that would make me question what I want to do?
Or you're going to fail.
Exactly. There's always been a support there. Maybe sometimes it's nervous support, as Fran Hong said, nauseous optimism. But she's always been there for me. And she's always supported me. And she's always been proud of me for the things I do. Because I think she knows her baby boy will always land on his two feet.
Favorite mom stories. We are marking Mother's Day this coming Sunday. Share your stories with us at 855-752-4842. Sherry from Horicon. Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for joining us and for listening.
Hello, Sherry.
Hi. I have a sad story, but a grateful story. Last February, my dad passed away after 20 years of cancer.
Oh my.
And he was just the most amazing man. Took care of my mom. She had a stroke and all that. So anyway, then it got too bad and they went into assisted living in Arizona. So the last time I got to see my mom was the memorial service that we had for my dad up there in the North Woods. A little cemetery up there, and I sat next to my mom. My sisters wanted me to sit next to my mom to hold her and comfort her.
Yeah.
And so I did, and she was amazingly strong in front of all this crowd, and it was a big crowd. And then when the pastor went up, not pastor, the they had a guy from the American Legion, and they had the honor guard and all that, you know. And when they started playing taps at the end, she held through. Well, I should say she held through up until Onward Christian Soldiers, everybody sung. And Dad always wanted that played at his funeral. I sat next to her, and the Lord gave us the most beautiful day, and he loved dragonflies. And so at the end, when they were playing taps, there was a dragonfly that went and sat on top of his urn and then came over and sat on mom's purse.
Oh, wow.
Sat there.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry. Really, thank you for sharing that story. And thank you so very much for listening. And I know Sherry watches on the live stream
Absolutely.
All the time. We really appreciate that. You can do the same if you want to jump on the live stream. Look for Matt Nair on Air on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Or call or text as we take your favorite mom stories at 855-752-4842 in honor of Mother's Day, which is this coming Sunday. Carmela from Milwaukee. I was caregiver to my biological mother, Mama Lee. She had a stroke, which caused aphasia. Because of the aphasia, she inappropriately swore a lot. I was always cautioning her to tone it down. We were on my way to my stepmother's, whom both Leah and I call Mom. While driving to Mom's, someone cut me off. We ended up at a stoplight next to the car. Mama Lee went ballistic on the car next to us, swearing and flailing her arms about. I could not get the windows and sunroof closed fast enough. She finally calmed down, then unloaded about the incident when we got to Mom's house. My mother's face was priceless. She was shocked at how prolific Leah was with swearing. She had heard me explain it, but this was the first time she actually heard it. Mama Leah passed away years ago, but my mom and I still giggle about the Mama Leah stories, especially that one. This Mother's Day, I have the honor of being in the presence of my stepmother, Marilyn, forever known as Mom to me. Oh. Enjoy your Sunday. Remember and celebrate in your hearts, like Greg says. Thank you so much, Carmela. You're absolutely right. Ellen from Cedarburg is joining us. Good morning, Ellen. Thank you so much. What did you want to say about your mom, Memory?
Hi, thanks for taking. Well, I have a great stepmom story. Unfortunately, our mother died very young, and there were five of us under the age of nine, me being the nine, and a baby just born. And my father, luckily, found this incredible woman who came and visited us with her horse and her dog. And eventually, Dad asked her to marry him. And she took us all to the courthouse one day and adopted all five of us. Aww. And she was the most beautifully kind, lovely person that we've ever known.
Ellen, that is...
So I was very lucky.
That is so beautiful. That really is. And because we hear so many bad stories about step-parenting, which isn't necessarily fair all the time, that is just so lovely to hear that she came into your family and joined your family and became part of your family. How lovely.
Yeah.
She was our angel.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ellen. Really, really appreciate it. Tom from Grafton talking about favorite mom stories for Mother's Day on Sunday. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. My mom passed away January of 21, and she was in a nursing home for about a year and a half, and a lot of it during COVID, so we couldn't really see her very much, and she really went down quite a bit in that time. But I remember the last two times, or one of the last couple times I'd seen her, it's like a spark had come back, and instead of not making sense, the second from last time I saw her, she said, I pray. And I thought to myself, my God, there's still somebody in there. Mm. And then the last time I saw her, she said, are you coming back? And I'm never going to forget that, because a lot of what she would try to speak before you could not understand.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm so sorry for your loss, Tom, and I hope you have warm and loving memories of your mom to give you some comfort. Thank you so very much for calling in. You can join the conversation. We would love to hear your favorite mom story, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Listener in La Crosse on WLCX The Eagle. Years ago, I got called into work on Super Bowl Sunday. I was going to miss all those great commercials, so I asked my mom to record the game. She recorded the game, but she stopped the tape for every commercial so I could watch the game without all the interruptions.
That's
priceless. Love you, Mom.
That's awesome.
That is great.
I know you don't like them commercials.
Oh, that is so fun. Who wants to sit through that? I'll take care of that for you. It's okay.
That person sounds like they're from Rhinelander.
Could be.
I don't know.
Kind of a Rhinelander accent.
Rhinelander-ish.
The one story I wanted to share about my mother, she was always struggling to get us to eat well.
Yeah.
You know, there were six of us and very busy place and a very busy household. And she was helping my father run the funeral home and everything else. But we were not big vegetable eaters.
Yeah.
And I can remember this with such clarity that we all liked mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. What kid doesn't like mashed potatoes,
yeah,
right? So we come to dinner. We're all sitting around the table. The eight of us are sitting around the table, and we're doling out the mashed potatoes. And they have this odd aroma. And so I tasted them, and it's like, Mom, there's little weird chunks in here. Just eat it. They're potatoes. It's good for you. It's fine. And we're all, my brothers and sisters, we're all looking at each other going, like, there is something off here. This is. So she took cauliflower and whipped it up and told us it was mashed potatoes. Now, anyone who has eaten steamed cauliflower or cooked cauliflower, you know how distinctive that smell is.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's very, very specific.
It feels like your mom was ahead of her time, because they do that now. That's a common recipe, is whipped cauliflower. Okay. All right. Well,
At the time, we were all like, hey, nice try, Mom. You know, give a high five. It was kind of a fail, but...
Calvin, I don't know about you, but it sounds like Jane has a lot of food rules. I don't know. Calvin, what about you? Do you have a shout-out for the mom or someone in such?
I don't have a specific story or memory, but My mom is probably the most important person in my life. She's one of the strongest people I know. She's the rock of our entire family. So
there
that's
you go.
All I have to say.
Yeah. Well done, Mrs. Calvinator. Mom Calvinator, I should say. We would love to hear your favorite mom memory, whatever it is, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. For me to just call and say, I want to scream so loud for you, because I'm so proud of you, and let me tell you what I'm about to do. You know I love you so, I never let you go. Wrote this song just so you know, no matter where you go, my love is true. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to ruin. Just a reminder, if you want to get news that is specifically for your area.
Yes.
So if you're in La Crosse, or you're in Eau Claire, or you're in Hayward, or you're in Amory.
Amory.
You can go to your civic media station here in Waukesha. Go to waukradio.com. And at the top, there's a little news update. And if you want to stay informed and be plugged into what's happening in your community, these are all specially curated for where you are listening to civic media.
You know what else they can do if they go to waukradio.com?
What can they do there?
They can go to the big deals tab.
Oh, that's right.
The big deals tab. This, folks, when I say it's a big deal, I'm not being hyperbole here. This is a big deal. You can go on there and you can get yourself, but there was some like 50% off coupons.
There's really good coupons.
Restaurants, stores here in the area. I mean, I think it was, we had on the gentleman from the brew house, the Delafield brew house. And it was $28 gets you a $40 gift certificate. So you already are, you're making money while you're eating good food.
And you will have the best beer cheese soup in the world. I'm not getting compensated for this. I just really love this soup. And I was thinking about this last night. I was having soup dreams. No, I was thinking about, the Delafield Brewhouse has now ruined pretzels for me forever. Because you tasted that pretzel.
Oh, well. Let's be fair. It wasn't a pretzel. It was a work of art.
It wasn't work of art.
It was a pretzel.
It was artichoke, stuffed with artichokes and cheese.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
And folks, if you possibly can, if you get this pretzel, take half of it home and enjoy it the next day, maybe with a bowl of soup, because it's
so good.
Okay, now I want some. I blame myself. I brought up the big deals tab on waukradio.com. But you can go there and you can find some great deals. Because here's the thing is you're going to save money, you're going to get a value, and you're going to be supporting local. Because these are local businesses.
These are local businesses, yep.
And they could always use more people through their doors. So, yeah, go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab and find out what's going on around the area. And that goes for, I think every radio station has their own version of Big Deals.
Big Deals, yeah, exactly. So. Depends upon where you are listening in the state. Still a couple minutes if you want to share your favorite mom memory in honor of Mother's Day coming up this Sunday at 855-752-4842.
Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK, says, "My mom is the epitome of unconditional love. She had two strokes in the last year, but is doing well and brings a lot of spirit, laughter, and to all at the assisted living center she lives at. I'm also very lucky to have known my mother-in-law, who passed away early February of this year at 91.
Wow.
I knew her for 30-plus years, and she was my second mom. Hug your moms every chance you get. Celebrate them every day." And actually, let me add to that. Thank you very much, Liz, for that, because that's important. I am very, very lucky. I have a wonderful mother-in-law as well. I have wonderful in-laws. I have wonderful extended family on my wife's side. I love them. They love me.
That's
we hang
great.
Out. We have a great time. My mom and my mother-in-law are close friends.
Are they really?
They travel together. They go to lunch a lot. It is beautiful. They both lost their husbands, so they have a connective piece. Their kids are married to each other. There's a connective piece. So I am lucky to have a great mom and a great mother-in-law. Patty Becker.
That doesn't always happen.
No, it does not.
It really doesn't.
It does not.
And certainly, I'm sure people who are listening respect their mother-in-law. I mean, love is not perhaps the correct term.
They may have said a time or two, "Oh, great, they're coming over."
Yay.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Thanksgiving. Wonderful.
You know what? I'm going to go in the garage and take care of that project you asked me to do 7 years ago.
I'm going to take the engine out of the car.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, if you want to share your favorite mom story with the moments that we have left, 855-752-4842. You can also email it, if you would like, go to, email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. janesays@civicmedia.us.
Yeah, we're lucky.
We are lucky.
It's good stuff. These are good stories. These were good stories. Thank you for sharing them, everybody.
Yes.
And it's, you know, unfortunate when we lose them, but they stay in our heart, and we get these moments to celebrate them.
Well, and I think as Liz said too, let's not do this just once a day. We tend to do that with so many things.
Yeah.
You know, we have Memorial Day coming up, which is certainly very important, but these are good reminders for us to be grateful every single day.
I'm also lucky that neither one of my moms expect, like, they're not like, "Oh, it's Mother's Day, so I would like a day to mani-pedi, brunch, the theater, and then take me for shopping."
What are you going to do for Mother's Day?
Hang out at someone's house. My mom doesn't like to go out on Mother's Day. She doesn't like to be
the
part
crowds.
Of the scrum. And we'll probably order in some food. We'll probably watch a movie or just really just spend time with each other.
So mom's not going to have to cook, though?
Of course not.
Good for you.
If you met my mom, she'll be the first one to say, "Jackie Bach, not the first one to cook."
I love her.
Yeah.
More and more every day. What are you going to do for Mom's Day, Calvin?
Probably... My mom's very low-key. She doesn't like much as far as like attention on
her. Don't make
her.
A fuss.
Yeah.
Don't make a fuss. That's such a mom thing.
I'll probably make something for dinner, but that's
really?
Probably about it. Yeah.
What are you going to make?
Well, I'll have to talk to my mom and see what she wants.
I did not know you were a cook.
I don't do it as much as I should.
Okay,
but,
so let me get this straight. Board Lord, Dr. Slide, the Calvinator... our resident young person, fashionista, maxinista, and top chef.
Chef Calby.
Yeah, Chef Calby.
Well, we will be looking forward to Monday to find out what you whipped up for mom. I'll be very, very curious.
Yes.
And then we're going to have an off the air discussion about the Wonder Oven and how you feel about that.
I am so hungry right now.
Let's go get soup. Coming up. News is on the way next. I hope you will join us next week. We have a bunch of great guests that are coming up. In fact, we're going to be talking to the former head of the American Medical Association about the importance of healthcare and the importance of whatever administration comes into office next and the ramifications on that. Many, many other things coming your way next week. Todd Alba following the news at noon from noon to 2, and then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to all our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you to everyone for calling and for texting, and most of all for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy this weekend and you have a chance to share it. Happy Mother's Day. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.